Good evening, friends. This is Doug Strachan, founder and director of Memory Powers, LLC, a Colorado firm devoted to coaching individuals and organizations who wish to improve their productivity by remembering better. We achieve this by helping you to artfully apply the powerfully effective of mnemonics so that you can encode, store, and retrieve any detail on demand with accuracy and confidence. Welcome to the second of four exciting and informative teleseminars with Dr. Joan King, eminent neuroscientist and medical educator, certified professional coach, and author of the breakthrough 2004 book entitled Cellular Wisdom, Decoding the Body's Secret Language. Let me encourage each of our listeners to read and enjoy this marvelous book as you deepen your explorations into the elemental truths operating in your own life and experience. In our first segment last week, Understanding Cellular Wisdom, we learned from Joan about this wonderful interior source of inexhaustible energy resonating deep within each of us. She speaks so eloquently of this energy in terms of an ancient song of life, the very same creative force underlying the earliest processes in the living cells and systems of our bodies. Last week, Joan encouraged each of us to move beyond our thinking about this concept squarely and bravely into our experience of it. Joan, as we progress tonight into module number 2 called Tapping Into Your Cellular Wisdom, how would you like to follow up on these wonderful experiences, please?
Well, Doug, what I'd love you to do is open the lines for our participants to respond. When we were waiting for you earlier, I asked that they think about what they experienced as a consequence of their intention to experience cellular wisdom, not try to understand it, because the mind is incapable of grasping a concept that is this huge. So I'd love to hear from people. What have you experienced?
I have opened the lines for conversational mode.
Hi, Joan. It's Kathleen Caldwell speaking.
Great.
I really jumped into the homework, the field work, this past week, and I really was conscious of deepening my work around my meditation practices.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that I really experienced a level of relaxation and peace that I haven't felt in a long, long time. And so I was really conscious of deepening that work. And the second thing that we talked about is, when are we joyous? Are we feeling expansive or constricted? And just looking at the feeling parts of different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And how cellular wisdom really showed up for me is that I had a memory in my body of other experiences. And it was just fascinating to me how I immediately tagged into feeling constricted and then feeling those experiences from the past. It was like I had this memory from things that had occurred. It was really quite interesting. And it was very helpful to me to actually have the understanding of what was going on physiologically in my body.
Fabulous.
That's what I really got from last week's call.
Good. Good. Congratulations on being able to go to that deeper place. And you're right at the right place for today's call.
Thank you, Joan.
Anyone else would like to share?
This is Pamela O'Grady. For me, you know, you had made the comment on last week's session to pay attention. And then tonight, at the beginning, you used the word intention. And that was the word that came to me from the work that I feel like I did this week, because I had more intention with my
mm-hmm.
meditation time.
Mm-hmm.
So I really took in some of the things that you had said that you might do beforehand to sort of position you for meditation, such as saying, I know the direction of my life is within me, help me to access that, or help me to know what I don't know that I know, or I know I will know what I need to do today. So I would say those things prior to going into my meditation, and I felt like it actually gave me more intention and gave me more results from the meditation time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The other thing I really tried to pay attention to is the whole feeling piece that Kathleen was just talking about. And as I had certain thoughts, you know, kind of asking myself, am I feeling constricted or restricted, or is that feeling expansive to me? And that was really helping me to sort of understand where do I really want to put my energy and where is my focus. And right now it's been very helpful for me as I've been doing some career-focused work. The other thing that happened, I'll share this quickly with you, is I feel like I had an epiphany or something from my meditation time, and just came to the real understanding that as we go out into the universe gives us feedback, but that every moment of interaction that we have with another person or every moment of interaction is a gift to us, and whether that brings healing or whether that brings trigger something for us. It could be direction, and that the solitude and the meditation time helps us to bring clarity to some of that feedback to direct our lives. So that's some of the stuff that I took from my time this week.
Great work, Pam. Anyone else want to contribute to this?
Yes, this is Margaret Forrest.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi. You know, I felt a real freedom after the last teleseminar in the way that you worded it, Joan, as far as us being able to use just everything in our normal daily life as a way of meditating.
Yes.
And I just felt such a validity in that I did also, I guess maybe the word would be epiphany, but I just felt so much more even engaged with what I was already doing.
Great.
And especially the part about the feeling constricted or feeling expansive.
Mm-hmm.
I carried that with me throughout the week, and it was just, I just had such an appreciation that was even richer than it was before.
Marvelous.
Thank you for that.
Every one of you has done such fabulous work this week, really. Congratulations. Because you're starting to experience, not think about, not try to understand with your mind, but experience this amazing energy that is a gift to us. Yes, Pam, it's a gift to us, the life force moment by moment that innervates all of our cells and that keeps us alive, floods into our being with a complete abandon for us to use it in any way we choose. And, you know, that's such a wonderful gift. And at the same time, every gift comes with a responsibility. And the responsibility that we have to the life force, which I call cellular wisdom, because it encodes this ancient wisdom and comes through our cells to us. The responsibility is to live the fullness of who we are. And that means bigger than you can imagine. Imagine the potential that you have tapped into or sensed or tasted at different times in your life. You have more potential than you can ever imagine. So tonight I wanted to start off by discussing the topic that each of you has tapped on. Well, I should ask first, anyone else want to make a comment before I continue?
Thank you, Joan. It's Doug. Just briefly, I'm resonating. This is absolutely wonderful to hear people's experiences. I'm resonating particularly with Kathleen's accessing a memory that's in her body. So this is a beautiful integration of the thought and the feeling. And I'm a little biased, of course, attending to memory, but our access to a memory that is unique to us and yet maybe collective in some way. is absolutely striking. Thank you.
Great.
And this is Robert Evans. Just with a short comment of, I was pleased to discover this week, the personal rewards of my giving more attention in respect to my feelings, inner feelings and sensations as just a perfect Geiger counter of, am I on my true north or not?
Absolutely. Thank you, Robert. Absolutely. So I want to talk about the responsibility to live. Because why would you tap into cellular wisdom? Well, you want to tap into cellular wisdom in order to use it to fulfill the fullness of your authentic expression in the world, at in your family, with yourself. So that there is this almost like a lotus opening to understanding, and when I'm using the word understanding again, I mean experiencing the tremendous, continual unfoldment of who you are moment by moment. Spirit brings us a full new resource of energy moment by moment. It isn't something that you run down. It's always wanting to come in full blast. Now, our responsibility is to realize that, number one, and we talked a lot about that in our first meeting, to realize that that infinite source of ancient and continual energy is available to you moment by moment with no earning, with no needing to prove yourself. It is your birthright. It is who you are. So knowing it's always there is, of course, the foundation, because you can't accept the responsibility of using it if you don't know it's there. Now, some people come to know it's there, and many of us this happens to, by a traumatic experience in life. It could be the death of a spouse or a child, the loss of a job, a divorce, some traumatic event. And why is that a gateway? It's a gateway because what the event is removing are the things that ordinarily you rely upon to tell you if you're going in the right direction or not the right direction. And it strips away everything. I know that when I left academia, which had been the one solid thing in my life from the time that I was a child, all of a sudden the question came up, who am I? If I strip that away, who am I? At first it seems an awful place to be, but it's a fabulous place to be. Some people call it the void. It's the place where all the potential resides, but the form hasn't arisen. I had no idea when I left academia what I would be doing the next year. No idea at all. And that relinquishing the need to know is one of the first ways to become responsible in tapping into and using the fullness of your cellular wisdom. Now, why do I think that's so important? And we, of course, do not have to go through a traumatic event to get to that place of not needing to know. But I mention it because it is a common experience, and I think most of us resonate with what that feels like when you don't seem to know. And the reason it's such a wonderful place is that you don't have to know. You really don't have to know. Our cells, when the DNA is directing the activity of the rest of the cell by replicating itself or by producing RNA to produce proteins, the cell doesn't sit around and say, do I know how to do this? How is this going to work? How is this going to work? Many times we block tapping into the fullness of our potential because we can't see it. It's in a haze. And if we can't see it, we feel like we don't know where we're going. And if we don't know where we're going, how could we possibly get there? And I am not saying don't have goals, don't have intentions. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that at the deepest level of being, the knowing is not about how. The knowing is that it will happen in exactly the right sequence, in exactly the right time, with exactly the right people. When you think that way, when you allow yourself to sink into the depths of being, that's what's really there. The life force that innervates us and keeps us as beings of vitality, gifting us moment by moment by that energy, knows that all is well. That regardless of how it looks, I've lost my job, this has happened, this project fell apart, I'm a failure with this, no matter what that looks like, that's a level of superficial reality. That is not the truth. The truth lies so much deeper than that. The truth lies in knowing that you are in continuous, energetic communication with an energy that is inexhaustible. I want to use the example of popping a champagne cork. The essence of champagne is to flow. When it's corked, it's not flowing. You remove the cork and it immediately effervesces. That's what our cellular wisdom is like. We don't have to do anything to reach it, but we do have to stop corking it up. Stop putting the blocks in the way. And here are some of the blocks, and I want you to listen to this, because in a minute, I'm going to ask you if any of these resonate with you. And some of them are as simple as, I couldn't possibly do that. Oh, I could have done that 10 years ago, but I can't do that now. What? Move across country? That's ridiculous. I don't know anybody there. How's this going to happen? Everybody's told me I can't do that. I know I can't do that. Everybody's told me I can't do that. I'm not creative. What makes me think I can write a book? I'm not creative. I'm not an extrovert. How can I just walk into this room and talk to all these people? I don't know if you recognize any of these, but these are like the blocks of the cork on the champagne bottle. Life force is there, waiting to flow. These thoughts, beliefs, emotions can block it, just like a champagne cork can block the flowing of champagne. So I'd like to open it up and ask people, is there a block that you're aware of now that may be like the champagne cork?
I'm not wanting to hurt somebody's feelings or how it would affect other people around us. Is there a block?
If you're concerned, if what you're telling me, and tell me if I'm interpreting this correctly, that if you keep thinking about what the impact of being who you really are is going to be on the people around you, is that a block?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt. And this is why your major obligation in this life is to utilize the unique combination of your particular propensities because no one else can. On my website, I have the question, who are you to deprive the world of your genius? If you don't express the fullness of who you are, no one else can. No one else has that unique set of aptitudes, interests, propensities, potentials. Now, am I saying be egocentric? This isn't egocentric. This is authentic, spirit-centered. That is, if you try to be someone whom you are not, in order to please the people around you, you have imprisoned yourself and not given yourself permission to be who you really are. One of Maya Angelou's books is entitled, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. And so that is absolutely a block. I'm not saying don't be sensitive to other people, but it cannot direct the fullness of expression of who you are. If it does, it's the champagne cork. It truly is. And all of us are missing what you would otherwise bring of your fullness to the world. You know, once, and this is an amazing thing I've noticed with people, once you make the decision to truly live the fullness of who you are, amazing things happen in your life. Some people drop away. They're uncomfortable in the resonance of your energy. Other people are attracted. And you find yourself with a group of allies. A group of people who understand, who resonate, who appreciate. We aren't meant to do it alone, but it doesn't necessarily mean we have to do it according to the way that the people who are around us see that we should do it. Does that make sense to you, Margaret?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Very much.
Anybody else have a comment about recognizing a piece of a champagne cork?
Joyce Kathleen.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. You know, I really do resonate with that analogy, and, you know, it's stepping into the fullness of who I am and all that I know I can be. I know that, you know, I have a book just right there that's ready to be written and, you know, columns and possibly TV, and who even knows? And it's, you know, I feel like sometimes it's just jumping off, like have one foot off the cliff and one foot back on land, and I'm not able to leap. But part of me really wants to.
So how do you...
I'm really scared.
Of course. Of course. You know, whenever we do something that is way out of the range of what we normally do, there'll be that feeling of being scared. But it doesn't have to stop us. And I think part of what I was trying to say in the beginning when I said at the deepest essence of our being, we know that all is well. If you think about how a brain develops and muscles develop and bones and develop from a single fertilized egg, one cell winds up making trillions of cells. One cell that looks like nothing. It looks like a chicken egg winds up making this fantastically synchronized, orchestrated symphony of cells. How does it happen? It happens in sequences, and it happens with perfect timing. So I would say that to counter the scaredness of pulling out that champagne cork is to reassure yourself that at the deepest level of your being, all is well. All is in alignment with the exuberant life that is flowing into you moment by moment. and will manifest. You will know when an appropriate movement is
right.
appropriate. You will know it, and you will feel it, not know it in your head. You will feel it. There will be that expansive feeling that we talked about last time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your signal. Of
that everything is in alignment. That is all. It's just the perfect time.
Exactly. The perfect time. Yes. I would say to you that allow yourself the confidence of knowing every moment, that every moment you are in alignment. And allow yourself to know the alignment. And you know you will watch your fear subside.
Mm-hmm.
It will start to just kind of wash away. Now, one of the things in the body that the body teaches us is if you don't use it, you lose it. It's like muscles that you don't use will atrophy. I'm particularly aware of this because I had rotator cuff surgery last Wednesday. And I know when there are muscles that are not being innervated by nerve, they begin to shrink. They're not used. Well, there's an advantage to that as well. When you're scared, if you go to that place of depth, to that place of knowing that all is well, there is the deep, deep confidence that you don't have to know how it's going to unfold, but it will. And you'll find that as you don't indulge in being scared, you know, by the fearful thoughts that usually explode, what if this and what if this and what am I going to do if this is this? And if you don't go there and you go to that place of the deep confidence of knowing that all is well, this scaredness will atrophy, just like a muscle atrophies when it's not nourished.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an advantage.
Don't give it any energy.
That's right.
Keep focused and keep confident and peaceful about the process.
And know that just because you can't see that there's going to be step one, two, three, four, that actually, as a matter of fact, after this all happens and you look back at it, even though you didn't know what the steps were going to be. When I look back now at being a professional certified coach, look back at leaving academia and not knowing where in the world and what my contribution was going to be, I can now see the steps. I didn't see it then because I couldn't see that far.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's happened, I can look back and I can see it. I was referred by someone to a career coach. I went to see the career coach. I enjoyed the process enormously. And then that began to unfold and led me to the joy of what I'm doing right now. So there's no doubt in my mind that that sequence, that patterning, is part of what's in cellular wisdom. And you don't have to see it for you to know that it's real.
Perfect. Thank you, Joan.
You're welcome.
Joan, there's an element of your description that's reminding me so clearly of the introduction to your book. And as you talk about taking steps, I believe we'd all benefit from hearing you describe very briefly your amazing decision to step off into space.
Yes.
On the mountaintop on 1596.
Yes. And I want to tell you, we're in the process of putting up on my website an audio version of my introduction to cellular wisdom that will be free for you to download.
Wonderful. Thank you.
But what I had, my husband and I were traveling in Europe. We had given a talk in Turin, Italy, and both of us gave scientific talks. It was about the time that that bubbling inside of knowing this is about to come to an end, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I can't live in this circumstance and be the fullness of who I am anymore. And our next talk after Turin was in Rouen, France. And it so happened that we had 2.5 weeks between the two talks. And we don't usually take vacations. So this was a marvelous gift. And we drove through wonderful French countryside and visited wineries, and we were in Talwar, France, staying at a Tufts University place that they have there, and we were at the Hotel Boa Vista, and I'm awful in languages. Thank goodness I can think about other things, but languages is not my forte. And so I heard people speaking in English, and I thought, oh my God, somebody I can understand. And so I listened a little bit, and the woman was telling her husband how she was so afraid watching him parasail that morning, run and jump off the mountain, not tethered to anything except the sails, not tethered to a boat or anything else. And I said to my husband, I want to do that. Now, he knows that I can't swim, and this was over Lake Annecy. And I also am afraid of heights. And so he took that with a grain of salt, because in order to do the jump, you had to get up at like 4:30 in the morning, drive up to the top of the mountain when the winds were in a condition that would be most favorable, and you would sail at sunrise. And so he did not set the alarm, and he waited for me to tell him what to do about that. And I woke up at 4:15. I was ready to go. He said, I really can't believe it. What did you do with my wife? And I said, I really want to do this. I need to do this as a symbol that I'm going to do one of the scariest things in my life, which is I think I want to leave academia. And I want to know that I'm going to be okay. And he said, you want to do it? I'll do it too. So we drove up the mountain, and as we drove up the mountain, I would scrunch down in my seat and look over the side, scared to death of what I saw. Got to the top of the mountain, we suited up. There was this wonderful French man who, part of what let me know I could do this is that they let you have someone tethered with you, behind you nonetheless, but with you to take care of any emergency. So I felt as though I wasn't putting myself in danger. And I said to him, are people scared who do this? And he said, lady, anybody who hasn't done this before is scared. And so he said, okay, it's time. What you do is you run and you jump. And so I ran and I jumped, and the sails just filled with air, and I floated. And I screamed to the top of my lungs, ooh la la, just as loud as I could. And there was such that feeling, yes, everything is just the way it's supposed to be. So he asked me if I wanted him to take a picture. And I said, if I'm up here, give me those controls and take that picture. And he did. And I keep it next to the telephone. And I cannot tell you what a source of inspiration it continues to be to me today, because it was a symbol of jumping off and knowing that all was well. I know it took a while to tell that story, but it has been such a source of inspiration to me.
And what a beautiful example of the cork popping off and allowing the flow of abundance.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, I do want to mention to you that in Cellular Wisdom, the book, the first half of the book is about you as an individual, the exuberance of living yourself. And there are four chapters that really pertain to today's discussion of tapping into cellular wisdom. And there are chapter 3, which is shape life moment by moment. Chapter 4, which is actualize life's potentials. Chapter 5, which is tap into renewal. And chapter 6, which is claim abundance, because abundance is our natural default state. Anyone else have a piece of a block that you might like to share with us? A piece of cork you'd like to get rid of?
Joan, this is Pamela. For me, I think, you know, what I wrote down as you were talking about this is sometimes I'll feel like I get connected to a vision or my goals and what I'd like to achieve, but some of the blocks that come up is I'll never achieve that. I'm probably thinking beyond what I can achieve. Those are some of the things that come up for me.
Okay. Now, I don't necessarily suggest that you think you can achieve everything at the same time. One of the things the body shows us is how in the brain pieces develop at just the right time. In fact, the cortical neurons, which are the most superficial layer of neurons, are the last ones to take their place in the brain, and they have to migrate through 5 other layers of other cells. And you might say, but why? Wouldn't it be simpler to put the outer layer there first and the second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth later? But the fact is, the ones that make up that top layer need the signals from all the other cells to help direct them as to how to go and find their way and migrate to their appropriate position. So when you think of all the things you want to achieve, I would suggest you write them all down. Do the constrictive or restrictive exercise we talked about last time as you think of each one of them. Then, in the sense of listening to your body, ask, what's my next step? What's my next step? When you walk down a pathway, you only can focus on the next step. Your power is right now in the moment. You can see the bigger vision. You can see, but those are all possibilities. The steps that you take are the actual decisions that you make in the present moment, and that's where the power is. So start down a trajectory. Take the steps. Whenever they begin to be constrictive, pause and determine, is there a different step I should be taking? Is there a different direction I should be going? In other words, we're used to a very linear cognitive way of living, which is like saying, live your whole life through your eyes. You can't hear, you can't taste, you can't feel. Live your whole life through your eyes. Now, your eyes are wonderful, but your eyes are not the totality of who you are. Our minds are wonderful. Our minds are not the totality of who we are. What the trajectory of the mind proposes is a preprint, so to speak, of potentials that may or may not emerge depending upon how we walk the path and the decisions that we make along the way. Some of them you might not realize, but you might realize something enormously bigger than that. So I would say, respect what the mind offers you. Look at the options it suggests and look at your constrictive or expansive feeling about each of those. Intend that if this is an authentic expression of who you are, then the universe is going to provide for you signals, just like the cells in the brain provide signals for the cortical cells to reach that top layer. The universe will give you the signals of the direction for you to go in. And you don't have to do it by leaping tall buildings in a single bound. You do it step by step. Pamela, does that make sense?
Yes, that was very helpful. And one of the things I was going to share, that from my meditation time this week, one of the exercises that I did was take a poster board and actually write out all this information that was coming in. I wrote it on little pieces of paper, looked so I could see it visually, and then went through, is this constrictive for me or is this expansive for me? Is this draining me or is this bringing me energy?
Mm-hmm.
And I share that only because it was a great visual way
Yes.
to take my thinking and to start to bring some clarity, which would move into a lot of what you're talking about with, well, what's the next step?
Exactly. Exactly. Very good.
Joan, in keeping with our theme tonight of tapping into cellular wisdom, there is a really magnificent question coming in on the Ask inbox.
Okay.
And I think it would fit just fine here.
Okay.
Our listener is experiencing some very expansive feelings from the initial exposure, and the question is, could you please speak about your observations of how the cells respond to our attention to them? Does our understanding of their specific functions have a greater effect on them?
Okay. So
that's a way that we can think about our cellular wisdom and tap into it.
So as I reflect on the question, life force comes in full blast like the champagne would if we uncorked it. However, our thoughts about ourselves can cork the flow of energy. Oh my God, my mother had intestinal carcinoma. My propensity is going to be high. I think I'm, you know, by the time I'm 70, I'm probably going to have it. What you've just done is you've corked the life force energy that could flow into your cells by giving it a different directive away from health and well-being. You don't have to attend to the specific function of the cell. The cell doesn't need you to know that it knows how to produce antibodies and how to recognize foreign antigens. What it does need for the full flow is no champagne corks, no beliefs that can't happen, no sense of that's impossible, no sense. The cells are able, I've watched cells that you put down in a dish that you've extracted from an animal tissue, and those cells are just luxuriating in nutrients. All you have to provide is a minimum of nutrients, and they fully, really reach out to each other, engage in their own metabolism, taking in nutrients, getting rid of waste, and they flourish. I have a friend who is actually conducting an experiment where she's taking out dishes of heart cells grown in culture, just spending 15 minutes every 2 hours taking the cells out and simply loving them. Not telling them what to do, not telling them how to do it, not understanding their function, simply loving them. And the preliminary results are just as you might expect. They flourish much more rapidly. They turn over more rapidly. Their metabolism is enhanced, etc. So they don't need our knowledge of their specific function. What they do need is our knowledge that all is well and that we have everything we need at every moment to meet any challenge at any level of our being, physical, emotional, spiritual. We have it. It's there. It's present for us. And as long as we don't close that off and cork it up, and I would say that the answer to the question is the attention to the cells is to allow them to fully be, is to love them, is to allow them complete resonance with the life force that's bubbling into them. And that you will definitely have an increase in effect. Is that useful?
Thank you, Joan.
You're welcome.
Wonderful.
So I'm having some suggestions for work for this week. My first suggestion is, what are your champagne corks? And they may occur repeatedly. I would say spend a couple of days simply observing them. When do they appear? What do they tell you? How do you feel when that cork is in place? After a couple of days of observations, I'd like you to look at the opposite result, and that is, what would my life look like if this champagne cork didn't exist? If I were freed, if that champagne was flowing, what would it look like? So that's question two. Question one's, what's the cork? Question two is, what would your life look like without the cork? And question three is my next step. What is a step that I can take? Don't let this overwhelm you. There's no necessity ever to be overwhelmed. The wholeness of you knows exactly the next right step. And it's not going to come out of your mind. Your mind is going to look for the logical extension of everything that's going on in your life. And that's fine. But remember, it's just like trying to live with eyes only. Your mind cannot see the entire landscape. It only sees a part of it. The wholeness of you sees it all. May not be verbal, but it sees it all. And if you say, you've recognized the block, you've appreciated what your life would really be like if it didn't exist, and now you want to take a step to bask in the fullness of life by removing a piece of the cork, what's your next step? The intention of knowing that will help bring it forth in a way that it comes out of the pre-verbal into the verbal, comes out of the field of energy into the knowing. And you just know it. And it has no particular expression other than, I know it. I know this is the next step. So I want to have questions about this, because this is a very pivotal exercise. Recognize the cork. What would your life be like without it? What's your next step? So I want to make sure I address any questions you have about doing this.
May I please remind our listeners now to submit those most important questions and feedback by going to the homepage www.beyond-success.com. And then you can locate the teleseminars link in the upper right hand of the menus, and then click on the cellular wisdom entry in gold font near the bottom of that page. And then you'll find, if you scroll down on the next page, there is a hot link that says to submit your questions, click here. That's a very simple way for you to let Joan know what concerns and questions you have. And I'll be monitoring this essentially around the clock in April, so that we can address precisely what it is that you want to know about how cellular wisdom can guide you to a life of exuberance and fulfillment. We do have just about 5 or 6 minutes left, Joan, for any closing comments.
Well, first of all, I'd like to know, are there any burning questions about these exercises?
Do you have any suggestions for, this is Margaret, techniques or a question that would help with the, what's the next step?
Okay. So after you've identified a piece of a cork you're going to get rid of, you're going to know what your life would be like without it, then this is the time for meditation, for sinking into that pre-verbal place. You're not conversing with yourself. You're not talking about, well, I could do this and I could do that, but then this and then that. No, no, no. No conversing with yourself. You go to that place, the deepest part of you, where the wisdom exists, and you simply, before meditation, formulate the question, show me the next step. Can you show me the next step? And so then when you get deeply, you let go the conversation, which always dilutes the information. It doesn't enhance it. And you go to that very quiet place, and you sit there. And you don't keep asking the question. You've already asked it. It understands. And the very first time you meditate, you may not come out of meditation with a clear next step. But I would suggest that anything you come out with after meditation that you record somewhere. You may want to have a journal for the processes we're going through here. And it could be a vision of sunlight, or it could be something as simple as the ocean, or it could be a stack of books, or it just could be an image, a piece, a fragment. But if you do this every day for days, there will emerge out of the fullness of the wholeness a sense of direction. Oh, I see. I really feel expansive if I would think about that. Another thing I often do, and I often do it when I'm writing, is to take a small piece of paper and pose my question, such as, can you show me the next step? And before going to sleep at night, articulate that question. So that when I'm asleep and my conscious mind is not working, but my unconscious mind is as sharp as ever, I can take advantage of that energy. And then I can know that it will emerge. So I ask you to, first of all, have the confidence to know that it will emerge in the right time, in the right place, exactly as it should. So there isn't the worry, oh my God, did I get it? Let go of the worry and know that it will emerge. And simply allow it to come in its time. And then pay attention to the universe. When I was asking that about writing a book, somebody came up to me and said, you know, if you ever decide to write a book, I'd like to midwife that book for you. It also happened at the same time I've found out about a voice dictation recognition program, which was important to me because I was afraid I was going to write the book the way I had written my scientific articles because I'd been trained that way for so many years, and that would be so uninteresting in a book. So I wanted to talk the book, not write the book. And I'd found out about that software just about at the same time that the person said to me, if you're ever going to write a book, I'd like to midwife it. I knew I was being shown the next step. So it doesn't have to come through your own mind. It can come through something you see or hear or read or something someone tells you. So I would say be very observant about your surroundings and listen well to what you hear. Is that useful?
This is absolutely profound, Joan. I am reluctant to draw this call to a close, frankly, and we do just have 2 minutes left.
So I'd just like to close by saying, I have the confidence in you that you are ready to embrace this level of functioning, and that I support you in your recognition of coming to remember the wholeness of who you are and the joy of that discovery. And with that, I'd like to say, have a fabulous, fabulous week.
Next Tuesday, April the 18th, and we shall be talking at that point about cellular wisdom as it regards relationships.
And if you have not tried to download the April 4th call, I did send an email out with a code number, and you would go to the products page on my website, and there's a button that says download teleseminars you've already paid for. You click that button and it will ask for that registration number, and you put the number in and then you can download the recording.
That alleviates my reluctance to end the call, and that we can digest this at our own convenience. Thank you so much, Joan, and our dear callers will look forward to connecting with you again at this time next week. Good night, all.